Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. As you know, I'm your host, Dayton Tolbert. Got my man Gerald Howard with us tonight. Gerald, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'm beyond excited tonight, man. You know how last night I told you my ideal woman would be at least 130 pounds, at least 130 pounds?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'll change that in a heartbeat from this Tatiana Ali.
Man, I hear you, man. That's one of the things. He let the cat out of the bag, guys. Y'all know what's going on tonight. We're going to be joined in a little bit by Miss Tatiana Ali. She's the star of the new BET.com show, Bubbies. You guys may remember her from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So we're going to be talking to her about everything that she's done the last, I don't even know, 10, 15 years in the industry. So that's definitely going to be a treat. An even bigger treat, or I can't even say even bigger, but an additional treat on this evening is going to be an Ask Dayton advice question that I just got probably about 20, 30 minutes ago. And y'all know me, I like to be spontaneous. We're going to probably have one of the most interesting Ask Dayton advice discussions that we've had in some time. So I don't even want to let that cat out of the bag. But Gerald, you got a chance to preview the question. What were some of your thoughts, you know, without giving away too much? What can the listeners look forward to in the second half of the show?
Man, all I can say is wow. You know, we've done some absolutely crazy topics and got us some crazy questions, but this ranks right up there with the best of the best, and at the same time it's so real, so indicative of how real life situations are and how men truly think. I mean, it's so much balled up into this one question. It's amazing.
Man, so, Gerald, I got you here, man. Last night is being called a classic by just about everybody that I've talked to, you know, just off the top, man. What were some of your thoughts about last night's monumental show that we did?
Man, I got to say it had to do with just the realness of the conversation with yourself, me, and Flyness. You know, just talking about how men truly look at women when they dress certain ways and things of that nature. But more importantly than that is the advice that was given to the young lady who was going through her own personal crisis. And she was in a situation where a lot of women find themselves where they're being strung along by men, and it doesn't normally turn out for the better. And I think that was had something to do with some of your advice this morning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you who are unfamiliar with what we're talking about, we got a question yesterday, or actually on Tuesday's show, and the question pertained to a woman who was being strung along, or who she was basically asking if we thought was stringing her along. And we kept it real, as we always do. And, you know, we didn't say anything about cheating, or she didn't say anything about cheating in her actual question. And what we did was we just, you know, we pretty much called it for what we saw it. And as a result, she confronted this guy. And, you know, unfortunately, it was revealed that he was cheating on her and had been cheating on her for years. And, you know, we made the correction or the correlation to Steve Harvey's advice that was given in the book, basically saying that what he said was, if a man does not if he's not comfortable with where he wants to be in his career, you know, he's pretty much not going to be ready to commit. And to me and to Gerald and just about every other man that I've encountered pretty much thought that was not the best advice. So what we did was we gave her our advice. And kind of just to summarize it, that was actually what inspired this morning's advice, which was pretty much, and I'll go ahead and read it, and you guys can tell me what you think. It was like one of those situations that was very emotional. It was very, you know, to see somebody going through that much pain based on a situation that it wasn't our fault, but we had to shed light on the subject for. This is pretty much what I said. Ladies, if a man has been with you for years with no mention of marriage, he's stringing you along and most likely cheating on you. Don't fall for the common excuses like he needs to get his career right, his money right, mine right, etc. It's all BS. If a man truly wants to be with you, he'll make it happen regardless where he's at in life. That was the whole topic, or just about the synopsis of yesterday's show, and I posted everything on Facebook today. I posted her initial letter to us. I posted my synopsis of my advice and Gerald's advice. I also gave some additional advice, and then we posted her feedback after she confronted her man. Gerald, I mean, you got a chance to see it all put together. You saw the debate that ensued after. Man, what were some of your thoughts on that debate?
You know, it was crazy that there was even a debate going on, because, I mean, it's real talk. It's the truth of the situation is that I think a lot of people didn't like it because a lot of people, women, have been inside that situation before. And there have been a lot of men who have put women inside of those situations before. So and the truth hurts in both cases. But if you're going to be real about the situation, I mean, that it's so real. I've been that man who has put a woman inside that situation. I wasn't cheating on her, but at the same time, I wasn't ready to commit to her. And I used excuses along the lines of, oh, I don't have my money right or my job's not right. And the truth of the matter is I used those excuses, that excuse, because I was just not that into her. When I met a woman who I was so into, it didn't matter that my career wasn't where I wanted it to be. I was with her. And women have to understand that men go out, if they want a car, they do what they have to do to get it and keep it. When they want a certain job or career, they do what they have to do to go out and get it and keep it. So why would it differ if you find a woman? If anything, when a man finds a woman, he'll do even more to get and keep her, regardless of what he has, and he will try for a car, a job, or anything, because men want love just like women do. So women, don't be fooled by that excuse. That's what it is.
And it's unfortunate that people don't see that. You know, how many times do we see stuff like this happen in, you know, ongoing situations, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and it's, you know, the same situation. Men not, you know, acting like they want to be with the woman, but, you know what I'm saying, not really being sure about it. So while they're not being sure, while they're making up their mind, they're going out here having sex with any and everybody. Y'all gotta, you know, and I feel bad for women, because, like I said, Gerald's done it, I've done it. Just about every guy I know at some point or another has done it. Ladies, there are a lot of signs. Unfortunately, though, more often than not, you're not going to see any signs. Men in today's society, they're going to say and do just about anything to get you to go along with what it is that where they want you. You know, they're going to tell, they know you. So they're going to know the things to say in order to get you to do what it is. I mean, Gerald, but if you could offer some advice to the women on how to, you know, avoid that, or because, you know, ladies, last night's show, if you missed it, definitely check out the archives. But one of the things that we did was talk about the ways to see how a man looks at you based on how you present yourself to him. We talked about your physical appearance. We talked about your personality. And understand, these are all things that are going to play a huge and significant part in the role in the way that a man sees you. So definitely keep that in mind. But Gerald, if you could give some advice, what would you say that at least a couple of things that women could look out for to say, hey, wow, this dude is just stringing me along?
Well, you know, the main advice that I would give them would have to be, you know, it's not even about this dude. It's not even about looking at him. It's about the self-reflection. And when I say that, what I mean is understand what you want in life. Understand what you feel that you deserve in life. See, I'm not going to tell. See, a lot of women took your quote as saying, you know, don't stand by a good man. That's not what I'm saying at all. If you want to stand by that man and have yourself in limbo wondering what may or may not happen, hey, then you go ahead and do that. But what I would tell you to do is this. If you feel that you want a husband, if you want kids at a certain age, if you don't want to wait, just then don't accept that. Don't accept the excuses. Don't accept, oh, baby, I'm just not ready yet. No, because it all starts with you. Because when it's all said and done, if a man strings you along for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, however long, you allow that to happen. So you have to put your foot down as well. You have to say, you know what, this is, I understand that you're not where you're at, that where you want to be in your life, but this is not where I want to be. I don't want to be waiting on a commitment. I want to have X by this amount, by this date or this day, whatever the case may be. Just understand what you want out of life and don't settle for less, because the women who are being kept in limbo, who are being dragged along, they're settling. They're settling for that.
Right, and they're settling. And ladies, understand, a lot of times you think that you can have your cake and eat it too, whereas what am I talking about? I mean, you think that you can be strung along by a man, but allow yourself to be strung along. But when Mr. Right comes along, Mr. Perfect comes along, you're just going to end up being able to cut off, you know, your ex or your current boyfriend or whatever it is that you want to call him, and then just fall in love with Mr. Right. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. The tricky part about that is these men are good men who come along are going to see you. They're going to be like, okay, she looks good. She's got a cute face, a small waist. Personality seems cool. She's independent, professional. She's doing her thing. But, you know what I'm saying? She's got one tragic flaw. You guys are probably saying, well, what's that? It seems like I'm perfect. You know, it seems like the perfect plan. It's not the perfect plan because he sees that you're emotionally unavailable. And that's the number one thing that keeps so many women single. And not even so much single, but getting dogged by men. After the break, we're going to hear a great advice question from a man. You know what I'm saying? Which pretty much shows how he started out looking at a young woman and then how he ended up looking at her as a result of some events that happened. So understand that, ladies. You know, you have to make a decision. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. And I don't want to tell people how to live their lives, but from a male perspective, men will look at you and analyze you from the door. He will say, possible wife, possible girlfriend, or jump off, booty call. The problem with that is you won't know what category you're in. Because some men, most men, will do an excellent job of disguising their true intentions and allowing you to think whatever they want you to think. So he could be the most chivalrous guy in the world. You understand? He could be, he could be taking you out, calling you, texting you, but at the same time, he's looking at you as nothing more than a freak, a sex toy. And not saying that there's anything that you did, like not saying you're a bad person, but it's just because you're emotionally unavailable. You had, your heart was heavy. You're carrying emotional baggage for another man. What guy in his right mind wants to wife up somebody that's still in love with another man? If you think, and some women are saying, well, Dayton, I'm pretty clever. I can, you know, he doesn't have to know. I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to talk about my old boyfriend. I'm just going to keep that to myself. See, that sounds good, but men like myself, men like Gerald Howard, we're going to see right through you. You might as well put a sign on your chest saying, hey, look, don't take me seriously because I still have feelings for somebody else. It's nothing you can do to hide the fact that you're in love with another man. Trust me on that. I've seen it tons and tons of times. The smartest, most corporate-minded women fell victim. And, again, it's not something that they did wrong. It's just you can't hide that. you're in love with somebody, you're in love with it, it shines right through, and no man wants to clean up another man's mess. Gerald Howard, from a male that's done this and been there, am I lying?
You said it all, Dana. There's nothing else to add to that. I mean, you can't hide it when you truly love somebody else. A man's going to see through it every single time, and he's going to automatically either not fool with you, period, or just have you in a jump-off category. It's that simple.
It's that simple. Like I said, guys, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Dayton Tolbert Show. We're going to be joined by Miss Tatiana Ali momentarily. She's calling in from Los Angeles, actually. So we're on two totally different schedules, but she definitely will be with us on this evening. And then, like I said, we're going to get to a very, very interesting Ask Dayton advice question. But, you know, speaking about this whole situation of commitment and men stringing women along, you know, just to recap briefly, we talked about it on last night's show, and this was advice strictly for the fellas, you know what I mean? I didn't really put the fellas' name on it, but, I mean, it's definitely, it can go both ways, but I was talking to the fellas that do this. I said, look, guys, you know, there's never a rationalization or justification for cheating. Both men and women need to improve their communication skills so that their partner isn't in the dark about their wants and needs. If you're not happy in your relationship, just leave the situation alone altogether. If you care about that person, at least respect them enough not to put their health in jeopardy. And you know, we just did a few weeks ago a special on AIDS, HIV in America. You heard from best-selling author Larry Wilson, who is living with full-blown AIDS. And, you know, it's just not worth it. You know what I'm saying? Especially, ladies, you got to be smart about it. You know, some people always like to say things like, well, Dayton, why are you always giving advice to the women? How come you never talk to the men? Ladies, I do that because I care about you guys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, I care about men and women, but specifically you guys. These guys are going to do it. You know, let's be clear about that. Men are going to lie, cheat, get what they want. They're going to manipulate based on the stage that they're in. We talk a lot about this three stages that men go through. And depending on what stage he's in, he's pretty much going to play his part. I've lived it. And on the flip side, I've gotten questions and situations from hundreds of women that pretty much confirm that. And this is what happened. So it's best for you guys to protect yourselves, look out for the signs when you can, but more often than not, there aren't going to be signs, so you're just going to have to be the best woman that you can be based on the advice that we give. We pretty much tell you what to do. We tell you what not to do in order to be looked at in the way that you want a man to look at you. Now, if you don't care about how men look at you, if you're just content doing your thing, some women are okay with, you know, dealing with their ex and, you know, meeting new guys while they get over their ex. A female said to me today, she said, well, look, there's no better way to get over a guy than to have sex with another guy. I said, wow, that's interesting. You know what I mean? That's 100% false. You know what I mean? That's not going to work. That's not – I mean, Gerald Howard, you heard that. What do you think about that? Is that good advice? Is that going to work?
You know, that's never going to be good advice. That's not good for men to do or females to do. And a lot of women are probably saying, well, you're not a female, you don't know. But I've counseled hundreds of females who said that they made that same mistake where they tried to give themselves to somebody else in order to get over somebody else. And all it's done in just about every case is where they lost the new good man who was trying to be there for them. The man that they were trying to get over, they had more resentment from him because they felt like they slept with this new man just because of them. It was just all a mess all around. You can't get over somebody else by giving yourself to somebody else. You have to take the time that you need for yourself and allow yourself to heal. I mean, any time you try and do it that other way, I mean, you're just bringing more heartache upon yourself. Your body's not ready for that. Your mind, more importantly, your mind isn't ready for that.
Man, this stuff is deep, guys. I mean, you know, we talk on the show a lot about relationships, about dating, and you know, I've never personally heard too much feedback or negative feedback, I should say, about the advice that we give on the show. You see all this back and forth from people on Facebook, and a lot of times it's things that are taken out of context, you know, obviously because text and you know, writing, you know, is going to be a little bit different from actually hearing somebody. But, you know, in case you're unfamiliar, I've never, that I can remember or that I've encountered, heard somebody say, wow, Dadon, the advice that you gave or the advice that Gerald Howard gave really steered me in the wrong direction. You heard a heartbreaking story from a young woman yesterday, and I'm not aware of any of those types of advice letters pertaining to me or this show. If you guys have them, send them to me. I'd love to read them. But for the most part, guys, any advice you hear from me is going to have women's best interests at heart, and it's going to tell you how to avoid the uncomfortable situations that you find yourselves in. And the reason I'm able to do this, because, ladies, I've done it. You understand that? I've done what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not speaking about something I haven't experienced. Games, a lot of stuff we talk about here is games that men play, why men do the things that they do to women based on the way the woman presents himself. I'm saying because I've done those things, so I'm obviously able to give back and tell you guys how to avoid it. So to me, debating is pointless. Gerald Howard, I mean, have you heard any negative feedback that, you know, as far as like women saying, wow, you guys really messed me up or told me something I tried out and it just didn't work out too well for me?
Oh, no, not an inkling of that type of bad, I guess you'd say, response, not even an inkling of it. The worst that I've heard is that you keep it too real. Some of the things you may say may hurt people's feelings, but all in all, the advice that's given is on point, and nobody keeps it realer. So a lot of some people say you may need to tone it down as far as try to be more sensitive, but everybody loves the advice that's given, and they say keep doing what you do.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear, and it's thanks to you guys. I appreciate it. This is what we're going to do. Let's do an Ask Dadon advice question. Be clear, guys. If you guys have questions or situations, hit me up at askdadon@gmail.com. You're never going to hear realer advice. We're not going to tell you what you want to know or what you want to hear necessarily. We're going to tell you what you need to know and the best and most realist advice for your situation, even if it's unpleasant to hear. Unfortunately, the young woman hit us up. She was like, I was bawling when I, as I was reading your advice. So that it goes down like that sometimes, unfortunately. Let's go ahead and, like I said, I want to do this Ask Dadon advice question, and it pertains to sex, and which is Gerald's expertise. He, you know, writes a lot about it. Matter of fact, if you haven't already, check out his new book, When No Means Yes. You can catch a lot of his, promos for that on Facebook, and they got the ladies very interested in what this book is all about. Gerald, real quick, where can people pick up that When No Means Yes?
Most definitely. The best place to go ahead and get When No Means Yes is off of authorhouse.com. www.authorhouse.com is $13 there. Half of all proceeds from the sale of the novel go directly towards the research and development of a cure for breast cancer. You can also find it on Amazon or go by any of your Barnes and Nobles and order it. But all of my books have to be ordered online, either by the bookstore or whatnot. So the best way to get it is just to go to authorhouse.com and search my name.
Cool. That's what's going on, man. Like I said, y'all, these questions are some of the realest ever. And this one is just pretty laid back, but I think it's going to really help some people understand how men think, especially in the way that me and Gerald presented. This is where she pretty much hit me up, man. She said, Dadon, why is it that men focus on sex so much? What's crazy is that I'm dating this guy, and I'm not all pressed to have sex with him. I just focus on myself and my career. When he asked why I don't want to have sex, I told him that I'm just chilling. And he said, well, there must be something wrong with me. Now, you know, he then added that he can't go without it. Now, Dadon, I have no problem waiting, but why is it that so many men have a problem waiting for sex? And this is interesting. And I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about this because this is one of the biggest misconceptions about men and how we feel about sex. If you guys are looking forward to Valentine's Day, the release of my new audiobook, What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear, there's a whole chapter. The chapter is actually entitled Common Misconceptions About Men. That's a whole chapter. Then you have How Men Really Feel About Sex. So, you know, like I said, man, there's nothing that I don't talk about in this new book. I mean, you name it, every possible scenario. You know, see, what prompted me to do this, and I just want to say something real quick. You know what I mean? I got a lot of haters. You know what I mean? Shout out to the haters. I know some people are listening right now have never heard the show, but they said, let me just call in just to hate. Well, shout out to you guys. But understand something. Somebody said, well, Dana, you talk a lot about Steve Harvey, and, you know, I know you got this new book coming out. It seems like, actually, Zane said this, and I have no problem saying, national best-selling author Zane, just about everybody's favorite author, is right on Facebook. She hit me up on my post. She said, well, it seems like that's what you're doing. I said, well, with all due respect, Zane, I appreciate your feedback, but that is in no way what's going on here. What's going on is I've been talking about Steve Harvey and his advice ever since Act Like a Lady came out. I don't know whether that was 2-3 years ago. I wasn't even thinking about doing this new book. And one thing about me, I speak my mind. Like I said, if I have something to say, I'm going to say it. And I have a problem with bad advice. And one of the things that I like to do with this stuff is I put my money where my mouth is. You understand? Like, I don't just talk about it. If I'm at a job I don't like, I get a new job. If I see a book out there I don't like, I'm going to write a better book and let my work speak for me. So I'm not trying to sell copies by building a name off of him. My work speaks for itself. Anybody who knows me knows I don't need to do that. I say what I say. It's people out there imitating me. You understand that? So I'm not worried about what anybody else is doing. But I will say this. When you have the number one relationship book in the world, you understand, and in that book, it doesn't make mention of half the things we talk about on this show or things that are in my new book. I have a problem with that because there are things not just that I want to talk about because I think it sounds good. There are things that women need to know. Like, that's not just a catchy title. There's certain things that I talk about that women absolutely need to know. What's out there that – the teen pregnancy rate is crazy. 70% of black women are single. Women are getting dogged at alarming rates. You understand? Women are being dogged. Men are not committing. I talk about all that stuff. When this book comes out, it's going to change the world. It's like finding a cure for cancer. I provide direct solutions to just about every problem I named. You understand what I'm saying? If men would do some of the things I talk about in this book, these problems would be erased. If women would do half the things I talk about in this book, that 70% would be cut in half. And that's real talk. So I just encourage everybody to, you know, get the book for yourself, listen to it. It's an audio book. Check it out, and you tell me, you know what I'm saying, if I'm saying some things that are incorrect. But as far as this situation goes, I want to let Gerald Howard start that off. That seems to be his area of expertise. So, you know, Gerald, what is it, man? Why is it that these men supposedly have such a big problem waiting for sex?
You know, when a man is really pressing you for sex and I mean, that's all that he's trying to get from you, and he can't take no for an answer, you know, then you have to understand that that's pretty much his only intention. Because if he wanted more from you, he wouldn't be so pressed to try and get it from you. I love the saying that you use all the time, Dayton, that, you know, men don't have a problem waiting for sex. They have a problem waiting for sex with a woman that they only want sex from. And that sums it up. That's so true right there. If a man wants to be with you beyond sex, if he really wants to get to know you, if he wants to spend more than a night or two with you, then he'll relish the time that it takes for you to gain, for him to gain your respect, gain your trust, and want to give yourself to him. See, I mean, I don't want to be with a woman who doesn't want to give herself to me. If a man wants to get with you and you don't want to give yourself to him, and he knows that, he just wants you for sex. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't care about your true feelings, and that you know what his true intentions are. He just wants sex.
And that's 100% correct, guys. You know, don't think that, you know, men are going to wait or won't wait. Like Gerald said, I say this every single night. Men have absolutely no problem waiting for sex. They have a problem waiting for women who they only want to have sex with. And I want to be clear about that. I don't want you guys to think that it's just something that sounds good. It's something, you know, we will wait as long as we want, as long as we need to. That's why the 90-day rule makes no sense. Men will wait 2 years for sex. You understand? But, you know, it's all about what he wants from that particular woman. A man will wait for marriage. Everybody says, oh, my God, waiting for marriage is so crazy. That's not, you know, that's not going to, you know, that's not going to work. No man's going to wait. Men will wait for marriage if that's the woman he wants to marry. You know what I'm saying? This stuff is crazy. This is what I got to do. Guys, Tatiana Ali is on the line, so I want to be respectful of her time. I want to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Miss – I mean, she really needs no introduction. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to her. And a little bit later in the hour, stay tuned. We're going to talk about this crazy, crazy-ass Dadon advice question. You're listening to the TBND Radio Network. This is the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'll be right back.
There you go. There you go.
Baby,
come in the booth. No hands.
Now normally I play the nice guy, yeah. Tonight I'ma show the other side, yeah. Want me to grab you by your neck? I can tell and make you wet. Oh girl, it ain't working unless you're sweating now. Arch your back, girl. Arch your back, girl. Meet me upstairs so I can beat it upstairs. Leave that teddy on, take them panties off. Like Trey say, I can't help but wait. Got that oven preheated. Trey and Vinny sex, but he ain't teach you how to eat your ass. On your back now, spread it out now. Oh!
Now, normally I don't do this, but I'm.
Which one of y'all?
I'm sorry.
Which two of y'all? Which two of y'all going home with Usher when I get you to the crib? I'ma leave you out on the bed. Girl, what you think? Girl, what you think? Girl, what you think? Girl, what you think? I love it up in the sky. Introduce you to the mile high. Girl, you gon' think, girl, you gon' think. I'ma make you think, I'ma make you think I reinvented sex.
You gon' think I invented sex. I can't say. But who the hell are you and fight like dogs at 6 in the morning? I know it's gonna be some more shit tonight. Oh, our past is calling, telling me I done went too far. And I'm sitting around town and my friends can't recognize me, cause I took a good chance on love.
Welcome back to the Dadon Tolbert Show, everybody. We've been trying to having some technical difficulties. You guys have overloaded the phone lines. Thank you to all of America for tuning in. I love you guys, but we've been trying to get Miss Ali on and got to make room for her. But we do have Miss Tatiana Ali on the line right now. We're going to bring her on momentarily, and I appreciate everyone's patience. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Dadon Tolbert Show on the TBND Radio Network. We're going to do our interview, and then later on, we're going to be having one of the craziest and most in-depth Ask Dadon Advice questions that we've done. But without further ado, I want to go ahead and bring Miss Ali onto the phone. Miss Tatiana Ali, welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show.
Thank you so much. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I know it's been a struggle getting you on, but we finally have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely. I know you're very busy.
Real quick, let's jump right into it. If you could just let everybody know how you got your start into the entertainment industry. Your first role was what, Sesame Street?
Actually, my first role on an episodic was Sesame Street, and I did that for a few years. My first ever job was, I think it was a commercial. I think it was a Tylenol commercial when I was about 4 years old.
Wow. Yeah, see,
yeah.
I did a little bit of research on you. What was that like? Cause, I mean, Sesame Street is one of those classic shows. I mean, was that what kind of experience? Do you remember? Have any memories of that?
Oh, I do. I have tons of memories. It was so much fun. It was like preschool on steroids. They treat the children really, really well, and all of the adults working on the show, the puppeteers, the actors, the director, they know that they're doing it for kids, and so they treat the kids on the show in the right way. But it's very memorable to me because, you know, there were at any point dozens of kids in the play school room in the back, and they would bring us out according to, I guess, who was best behaved on set. So I was one of the well-behaved kids, so I got a chance to do segments with, you know, people like Carly Simon and Sid Caesar, Herbie Hancock. It was pretty extraordinary. Yeah.
That's huge. That sounds like an incredible experience. Take us back to, I mean, obviously we want to talk about your new TV show on BET, Buppies, but take us back briefly to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, what was that overwhelming, being on such a hit show, such a hugely successful episodic show? I mean, what was that like at that age for you?
It was incredible. The show itself, the cast, we gelled. We had 1 week to shoot the pilot, which is kind of unheard of. Back in those days, they would take anywhere from a month to 6 weeks to shoot a pilot. But here was this young rapper, you know, somebody in hip hop, not an actor at that point. And I think that the network, the Brandon Tartikoff was the president of the network at the time, and he certainly believed in it. But I think they weren't quite sure what to expect. So they really only gave us about a week and a half to do the pilot. But from the very first day that we all met, we became family. And so in that way, it was very comfortable. I didn't realize the impact the show had until I grew up in New York, and I went back to New York after, you know, the summer after the first season had come out. And me and my mom were walking down the street in the city, and I remember a group of kids on a bus chasing us down the street because they recognized me. And that moment sticks out in my mind because it was like, wow, I was 11 years old and I was not anonymous anymore. And from that point on, I kind of looked the same. So it's anonymity is something that I lost at that moment, but happily so, because people, I think we've been in people's living rooms for so long, they really do treat us like family when they see us.
And that's the impression that America had of you guys. Like everything seemed very comfortable. The chemistry was perfect. I mean, it seems like you guys were not just a television family, but an actual real life family. What was it like working with? Obviously, we got to ask about Will Smith. Obviously, he's one of the biggest stars in the world at this point. What was your relationship like with him in particular?
Oh my gosh, he was a big brother to me. The whole cast, and especially Will, supported me in all of my endeavors. I mean, I had to do school on set, and that which basically means one teacher, one student in a small, tiniest little dressing room, set in the back somewhere, going at it, doing schoolwork. But they were always supportive. I had my textbooks out on set with me on stage while I was reading my script during rehearsals. And they really, I don't know, they kind of, I felt very nurtured. But Will was, it's not a surprise that he is where he is. He works so hard and takes what he does so seriously and has the biggest, most wonderful personality. I mean, we cried laughing every single day on the show.
Well, I can imagine. The show was hilarious and is still, to this day, a classic. But, you know, obviously Will Smith was obviously the star of the show, but you were, you know, you brought your own talent to the show as well. I mean, you actually, congratulations, you won the NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Youth Actor in a Comedy Series, which is huge. What did that award mean to you back then and to this day?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I cried on stage. It meant, it was incredible. It was acknowledgement in front of, you know, a room, this beautiful theater of people that I admired and was fans of myself. And it kind of, you know, it lets you know that, all right, all the sacrifices, and especially when you're a child actor, your family sacrifices a lot too for you. And it was that moment that said, okay, This is worth it. We're maybe onto something. It was amazing. I certainly didn't think I was going to win that night.
Well, it's definitely it was definitely well deserved. Like I said, you were great on the show. Tell us about your singing career that actually ensued after the show ended. You actually you earned a gold record with the hit "Daydreaming," which was, I actually remember that song and was actually feeling it. Tell us about your singing career. How did that start?
Well, I actually I performed on Star Search when I was around 7 years old. That was my first visit to California, and I won twice, but I lost the final round or whatever. Singing didn't come up until a rap party for, I think, the fourth season of the show. And the script supervisor asked me to sing. She remembered, and she knew I could sing. And so she asked me to sing, "I Work Hard for the Money," I think it was.
Wow.
She's like, "That's my song. That's my life story. Sing my song for me." And there was karaoke at this bowling alley where we were having a party, and I sang. And Will and the producers of the show asked me to sing on the show after that, and they actually wrote it into the storyline. After filming that show, Will asked me if it was something that I actually wanted to pursue, so I ended up signing with his production company, and the album was released under MJJ, Michael Jackson's label at the time, which was under Sony, and oh, my gosh. It was just so amazing.
That's huge. Congratulations on that. I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday. You definitely were doing your thing. And I'm just kind of giving the audience an abbreviated timeline of your life. You've done so much. Talk about your transition into so we got television to radio, then to the big screen. What was that transition like into a movie career?
It was interesting, and it kind of happened after I took time after singing. I toured for about a year with NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys and Monica at the time, and I took time off to go to college. I went to Harvard University, and that was sort of, I basically took a break from the business because I was away. I mean, I was concentrating on my schoolwork. So after that, I really wanted to do film. It was something that it's a different medium. It's sort of a different style of acting and performing. And I did the movie The Brothers, Glory Road, which is a Jerry Bruckheimer film, which is actually amazing because it was a true story.
That actually won the ESPN. Right, that actually won an award. What, the ESPN award for best movie for based on a sport or?
Yeah, well, the story is about the first African American basketball team to predominantly African American basketball team to win the NCAAs, and people look at that team. They were from Utah. People look at that team as kind of changing the face of basketball. It was kind of, you know, social reform at the very beginning, really integrating things. So when we were in New Orleans shooting, and, you know, a Jerry Bruckheimer production, so, I mean, it's like thousands of extras, dressing,
right,
period, clothing, and it was unbelievable. I played the lead basketball player, played by Derek Luke. I played his girlfriend, who then became his wife. And so I'm up in the nosebleed section, even though my boyfriend is the star of the team, and I'm looking out into this crowd in this basketball stadium at Confederate flags, people from the KKK protesting the game, and it really, I mean, it just transported me back to that time, and I think it did for all of us. It was really incredible.
Right, I remember the movie, and I actually enjoyed it. It was a while ago. It took me back, but yeah, definitely I enjoyed watching that. Talk to us about, I mean, you've done several movies, I mean, some classic movies. You know, out of all your projects, what would you say was, if you had to pick one movie that you enjoyed working with the cast and just the storyline and the script, which one would it be that you, if you had to pick?
Oh, my gosh. It's always brand new, because I've been growing up as I've played these different characters. So all of my life experiences up to that point informs what I do, or what I can bring to that character. I would say right now it's going to be the last one that I did, which is a film called Mother and Child, and it's with Sam Jackson and Kerry Washington, and it's about women and their and their daughters, some of which are adopted. Some of the women in the story have given their children away. It's an independent film, so it won't be released for a while, but it's done the festival circuit, and it's just a beautiful story. The script was something that you just cry. I mean, it was like reading a beautiful novel, and the process of making it was really similar. And my role in it is pretty small, but I was just so happy to be a part of that.
Wow, you just named two of my favorite actors, Sam Jackson and Kerry Washington. So
so amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell my people definitely to my whole audience to make sure they support that film when it's released. I got to be honest with you, Tatiana. I mean, you know, all my guy friends are listening. I specifically, all the men I know are tuning into this show just because. I mean, seriously, you were back in the day and still are on many, including my co-host Gerald Howard's top five list of the most beautiful women in the world. I mean, and that's
oh
no
goodness.
Lie. Dead serious. Everyone's listening right now. Obviously, I'm sure you've heard that. What does that mean to you at all?
I don't know.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
No, it's kind of weird. I don't really think about it that often.
Right. No, it's definitely a huge honor, especially with, you know, everyone that's out there. But seriously, that's a huge compliment. So
no,
on the show, definitely. One of the things we talk about, though, is the importance of women being both classy as well as sexy, you know, which of which you do an excellent, excellent job. How important is your image, you know, to the media, you know, because, I mean, like I said, so many women are, you know, turning to that, you know, take it off, show a lot of skin to boost their image, you know, but you always have kept it classy. How important is that to you?
You know, it's become more important as I've gotten older. I didn't used to think about that until I got out of school and came across the pressure of, I mean, naturally I had to knock on a lot of doors again and kind of restart my career. I mean, when you leave Hollywood even for a year or for a few months, people are like, oh, she's had it. She's done. She's out of the game. And that's what it was like for me after coming back from college. And around that time, there were a lot of people, even some people that, you know, whose opinions and whose guidance I really trusted at the time, telling me, oh, you know, you need to be sexy and you need to basically sex it up and take off more clothes and do whatever. And you know what? I don't have a problem with that if that is your personality and you – I don't have a problem with particular people and what they choose to do, but I do have a problem with people telling you that who you are isn't enough.
Right, right. And as a man, I can appreciate you staying true to yourself because, like I said, you are one of the premier leading ladies in Hollywood, but especially Black Hollywood. So, and men across the country. This is that barbershop talk, I like to call it. We talk about this stuff, and you're definitely doing your thing. Talk to us, if you can, about I know you know your schedule is tight, but your role in The Young and the Restless, which is just about everybody's favorite soap opera. It seems I prefer Days. No offense, but you know. Everyone loves The Young and the Restless. How is that different from your other projects, and how did that come about?
It's really different because we shoot an hour show a day, but I have to tell you, I have not had as much fun with the cast since Fresh Prince as I do on Young and the Restless.
Wow.
They are so amazing, and it's so funny because the Black family on Young and the Restless, they're the Winters, which I just think is hilarious. I always bring it up.
Right.
It's really funny. My character Roxanne is the girlfriend of the youngest Winter, and it's just fun. I mean, the storylines are insane, and they move really quickly. The schedule is really fierce. Some of the most talented actors work on daytime, and I don't know if they necessarily get the credit that they deserve for what they do and the time that they do it in. But it's been crazy because it's kind of exposed me to a whole another audience. And the funny thing is I will be walking down the street and the most thugged out dudes will stop me, and they won't call me Ashley. You know, they won't even necessarily call me Tatiana. They'll be like, "Yo, Roxanne."
Oh, wow. I would think they would say Ashley.
No, they say Roxanne. Like, yeah, I watch the stories. I love that.
Wow.
Great.
That's interesting. That's interesting to hear. Do you think you'll stay in daytime with everything that you have going on?
I love working on the show. I'll work on it for as long as they'll have me. I really do enjoy it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Talk to us about in addition to acting, obviously you've done so much, but you've also added producing to your list of accomplishments and talents. How did the new BET show, Buffy's, come about?
Well, my sister Anastasia and I started a production company a couple years ago. It's called Hazra Entertainment, and it's named after our grandmother who had passed away right around the time that we were forming it. And her name in Arabic means presence. And the idea was to help to create opportunity and to sort of take everything that she and I know. I mean, she's been on every set, in every meeting. When you're, like I said earlier, when you're a child actor, your whole family's involved. And we decided to take everything we've learned, and this is really crazy, but like 25 years I've been doing this, and put it to use in a way that would benefit other people, in a way that would hopefully bring projects to very much needed projects to, I think, an underserved groups of people. And so Buffy's came to us as a television show originally. It went around to some of the networks, and, you know, they weren't really feeling it, or they thought maybe it was a little, I think the word would be a little tricky, a bit of a risk.
Okay.
And so we decided, okay, you know, web shows are kind of a new phenomenon. They're definitely, people our age know about it. And it's a great space because you're able to be to have a certain level of autonomy in doing it,
right,
because it's so experimental. So we decided, okay, let's, you know, we talked to the writer and let's kind of mold this for the web and just shoot it ourselves and then see, you know, what we can do with it after that. And that's what we did. We shot it. We shopped it around, and BET understood it right away. It speaks to their audience. It's about five, you know, Buffies is, that term means black yuppies. It was used
right
in the 80s. It was kind of used as a derogatory term, like somebody like Carlton Banks would have been a Buffy.
Right, exactly.
But it really means black urban professionals. So in this time of, you know, Obama's our president, first African-American president, I think that our generation is really trying to, finally at a stage where we can define ourselves. We're much more than one block, you know? We're, how do I say this? We're,
it's still, it seems like it appeals to so many. It's not just like a black show. It's not a white show. It's, you know, a lot of different people can watch this and feel like, wow, this represents me, or I can, or if it doesn't pertain to me specifically, I know some people like this.
Well, yeah, that's how every good show is.
Right.
Fresh Prince didn't just, I mean, sure, it was about a black family, but people of all ethnicities and ages and in many different countries around the world watch the show because At the end of the day and at the beginning of a project, the story is the most important thing. But I do also think that it's important to see ourselves. I think it's important for young black people to see other young black people on television, not just in reality shows, you know, not just a group of women competing for one guy's affection, like, but to really see us in real-life situations. One of the characters on the show is dealing with his sexuality, and we don't deal with it in there's a lot of humor in the show, mind you. It's a drama, and it's also a comedy. It's very much a comedy as well. But we don't deal with it in a disrespectful way. I mean, there
right
are we have a lot of brothers and sisters who are dealing with that particular issue and are closeted. And I don't mean that in, like, the you know,
it is. It's not a negative. No, I understand completely. It's not negative, but it does happen, and it's good that you guys are addressing those issues in a realistic way, in a non-accusatory way, in a way that people can feel like, wow, okay, if this is me, if this is something I'm going through, I can feel comfortable in knowing that there are other people out here like me.
Yeah,
you know?
and to know that as a community we can talk about it, because we're actually, you know, hurting from not talking about it. In,
exactly,
in very real health-related ways.
Right. No, definitely. I've done, right, we just did an HIV in America special. We've done several domestic violence, but we talk about a lot of issues that pertain specifically to everyone, obviously, but, you know, that are really affecting our community. So
yeah,
it's great what you guys are doing. One thing, and before we let you go, we have so many people who are aspiring authors, aspiring producers, aspiring singers, aspiring actors
right,
that listen to the show. You are honestly an inspiration to so many people of all races, but specifically to people of color and women of color who are looking to do exactly what you're doing. What advice can you give to someone trying to break into the industry?
Oh, the advice I would give is that the greatest, your greatest asset is your uniqueness. Is you, your individuality, your morals, your set of beliefs, where you come from. I think a lot of times people come to Hollywood or want to be in entertainment or in media and think that they have to, they don't even think that they have to conform, they're told that they have to conform. And it's really sad because that's the exact opposite of what will make you stand out. That would be my biggest advice.
And that's excellent, excellent advice. And just like before I gotta ask you, you know, you see so many childhood stars, you know, they kind of fall by the wayside. You never hear from them again. You've been around for years and years and years. You're still extremely relevant in entertainment today. You know, what advice can you give to someone just as far as longevity? How were you able to make – and to graduate from Harvard, of all places, is phenomenal. And it sets a great example to young people all over. What, you know, how were you able to maintain that consistency?
I think that because if I have been able to maintain it, it's because I really love what I do, and it's not necessarily for me about fame or about recognition. It's about the contribution and the work. So, you know, I'm on the radio. I'm talking to you right now about puppies, but there are a million – like I also in the past have done – In the last 3 years, I've done 3 plays. Because I guess what I'm trying to say is it's about the work,
right?
You know? And even in terms of advice, I think a lot of people have aspirations and, oh, I want to do this. What they see and what they hear is the publicity, which is a side of the business, but it's not the whole thing. It's not the whole enchilada. That's like the sauce.
Right, and anytime you love what you do, it's not really work anyway. So that's definitely
true. But it really is about the projects and the discipline. And so a lot of the things that I have learned, let's say even in the last 3 years in the plays that I did, I'm infusing what I've learned, the mistakes that I've made as an artist or whatever. I'm using that in Buffy. You see the end result of it.
Right.
The years of work along the way, you don't necessarily see. You kind of see like the big blip, the
hype and the
highlight.
Right. Exactly. You see a lot of that, and you guys do it. You do a great job of keeping yourself visible, and you know, so many different things. Let everybody know where they can find you. So what do we got? Just to recap a little bit, you know, a few things. You got Buffy's, The Young and the Restless. I mean, I've seen you on Access. TV One Access. I mean,
that's
a lot. Let everybody know where they can catch you in the next few weeks, and any new projects you have coming up.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, my character on YNR, Roxanne, you can see that on CBS at 11 a.m. TV One Access is a monthly show, a monthly black entertainment show that's on TV One. A new episode airs the first Sunday of every month. Buffy's, the web series, you can watch. This coming Tuesday will be our 5th episode. You can find that on buffys.bet.com. And I also have a new TV show, a sitcom, that we're producing along with Martin Lawrence. The creator is Bentley Kyle Evans. He did, you know, his shows, Martin, the Jamie Foxx show. This show is called Love That Girl, and that's actually going to air on TV One in January. The first upcoming episodes will start to air then. So look out for that. It's really funny. It's hilarious.
Well, it sounds like it's got to be, you know, team of it's got to be. So,
oh, my gosh, that's so funny. I can't even. You can hardly work.
Wow, I can imagine. I'm setting my DVR for that right now. It's not even on yet.
Yeah, it's really.
Tatiana, you're an inspiration to everybody. You're definitely doing your thing. I mean, I personally have a newfound respect for you just from talking to you and hearing all the things that you have accomplished in life, and you're still doing it, much more to come. Let everybody know real quick where they can maybe keep in contact with you online. Is there a website? Yes.
There is. We're actually building my website right now, but people can enter their email addresses into the website. It's TatianaAliOnline.com. And you can also, on my Facebook page, Tatiana Ali, I have a fan page that people can absolutely talk to me on and you know, sign up, or just my regular Facebook page, too. And it's Tatiana Ali. I'm trying to think how you'll know that it's me and not one of the fake ones.
Because I know I have about 5 Tatiana Ali pages on my
mm-hmm.
friends list. I'm not,
yeah,
hopefully one of them is you.
The real one. The real one, I'm actually, it's a picture, that which I should change, but I won't change now that I'm saying this. The real one is a picture of me. I'm in a purple dress. It was at the inauguration. It looks like a real picture. It doesn't look like a, you know, a glossy
right.
white pen. It's just an actual picture. And I'm
not the one I have on my wall right now, right?
Oh yeah, I don't know which one.
just playing, just messing with you. But everybody, definitely check out Tatiana Ali. She's been, she's here. She's great. She's look out for Buppies on BET, Young and the Restless. Check your local listings for that. But thank you, Tatiana, so much for being here. And it was a pleasure talking to you. I'd love to have you back anytime.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Guys, that was obviously Tatiana Ali. She has been a figure of, you know, Black Hollywood for the last 10 years strong. She's obviously accomplished many things in the industry. Very admirable work that she's doing, has done and continues to do. So definitely make sure you support her and everything that she's doing. We're going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break. But when we come back, guys, this is what you got. I'm obviously... That interview was crazy, but we're going to go ahead and do one of the most interesting, I'll say it that way, interesting Ask Daydon advice questions that we have ever received here on the Daydon Tolbert Show. It's going to leave your head spinning. It's going to make you think. It's going to leave your mouth wide open. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Take your business to the next level. Positive Media Bureau is a full-service design firm handling everything from designing business cards, websites, company logos, and much more. They also provide promotional items like shirts, banners, souvenirs for any event. Over the past 10 years, company founder Greg Goodwin has provided personal consultation to help find the right strategy and products to promote your business. Greg has done business with both musical and visual artists, athletes, entrepreneurs, and corporations, making him one of the premier designers in the country. For more information on Positive Media Bureau, call 610-547-6401 or visit PositiveMediaBureau.com.
Have you been looking forward to an exotic vacation but aren't sure where to go? Well, award-winning author, advice columnist, and talk show host Dadon Tolbert brings you the first annual Dadon Tolbert Celebrity Cruise to Nassau, Bahamas, April 30th through May 3rd, 2010. This is an opportunity to vacation with many of your favorite celebrities on the beautiful Carnival Cruise Line. For cruise details and bookings, visit dadonsplace.net. Book your trip early because this event is guaranteed to sell out. For booking and pricing questions, call our travel coordinator at 610-529-1598, and we'll see you on the ocean.
Black Urban Literature welcomes its newest member to the family, and she's a heavy hitter. Debuting her first captivating novel titled Two Tears in a Bucket, Monique S. Hall bursts through with a fascinating story about a good girl turned bad. Two Tears in a Bucket is the first of a three-part series. This raw approach and gut-wrenching delivery makes it realistic and memorable. To purchase Two Tears in a Bucket, written by the author Monique S. Hall, visit her at mobettapublishing.net or myspace.com/mobettapublishing, or you can also go to amazon.com and everywhere, and I do mean everywhere, books are sold.
You're listening to the Dadon Tolbert Show, exclusively on the TBND Radio Network. Please join our online community at dadonsplace.net.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dadon Tolbert Show. Just to let you guys know, this is what we do here, you know what I mean? We have obviously some of the most thought-provoking relationship topics, situations on the show, but at the same time, we have some of the biggest Hollywood celebrities that you guys are going to find anywhere. So, again, shout out and special thanks to Miss Tatiana Ali, Gerald Howard. Did I do the fellas proud on this evening?
Oh, man, that was great, man. The only place that you messed up was not bringing me on to say hello, but that was great.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. I apologize, man. She's short on time. You know, she's a busy, busy woman. Y'all, we had to pull some strings at the last second. Because, see, unfortunately, guys, I love y'all for listening. I love y'all for listening. But, y'all, we've outgrown the Blog Talk Radio Network. The phone lines are becoming a problem. Nobody can get through on the line. She couldn't even get through. So she even called in early. So make sure, I mean, no complaints. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. But it's just what we got to do. So hopefully you guys enjoyed my interview with Tatiana Ali. Check her out on The Young and the Restless as well as Buppies and just about every, you know, movie. And this new show with Martin coming up sounds like should be a winner. Let's get into it. Let's get into this new Ask Dadon advice question that has been generating so much hype and, you know, controversy, it seems like. We've had some, if you've been listening, a lot of first-time listeners that we have, and, you know, you guys have missed. If you're a first-time listener, I love you guys for listening, but we've had some crazy stories, crazy situations. Make sure you check out the archives at dadonsplace.net. But one of the things we do is it's not so much the question, but it's more so the combination of the question, our responses, and then the discussion that often ensues. So, you know, we try to entertain, obviously, but at the same time, we want to inform. And tonight, we're going to give you a very, very realistic indication of how men see women as a result of their actions that a lot of times seem justified based on their own, sometimes and often, twisted logic. So we're going to talk about that. But let me just not even BS any longer, actually read the question. She goes, this is from a man, actually. We get a lot of questions from women. Occasionally we get men who write in, and he said he just needs to vent. He says, what's going on, Dadon? My name is, I won't even say his name. He says his name, but I won't say. Usually, you know, just so you guys know, I don't say names. Feel free to hit me up with your situations. Everyone remains anonymous, unless you specifically want to be, you know, put it out there. But he says, my name is so-and-so, and this is my first time sending something into your show. I was told that your show is the place to send situations and questions. Well, I have something for you, and I need to know your thoughts on it. I may be venting a little, but I need to vent to someone. I'm a senior at Grambling State University in Louisiana, and I've been feeling this young lady for over a year now. I mean, our campus is full of bad sisters, and our men are outnumbered 6-1, but she still stands out. And I think that if you're in Louisiana, it's probably a little bit more than 6-1, but which is crazy. But she still stands out. So after a year of seeing her around, we finally hooked up about 2 months ago. We go on a couple of dates and chill with each other, and by the third week, I've already cut every other female I was kicking it with. And real quick, I'm sorry to stop this, but I got to stop it because we talk about this every single night. You hear what this young man just said. He said we went on a couple dates, we chilled, and by the third week, and I'm not going to go on with my tangents, but hear that, ladies. By the third week, I've already cut every other female I was kicking it with. I say every single day, at any given time, men are dating a few different women. If you think they're not, you don't know men. Don't think that he was just sitting around twiddling his thumbs waiting on you to walk into his life. He's dealing with somebody when he met you, probably having sex with women when he met you when he met you as well. Be clear about that. Don't think you just come in and everything stops because you're there. If you got to play your role to get that man to look at you in a way that makes him want to cut off these other chicks. If you don't, he will never cut them off. He'll be dealing with you and the rest of these three women all at the same time. Please believe that. You think that's not true, this is a great situation. But not to go on a tangent on it, but he says, by the third week, and again, I don't want to keep stopping, but hear this. This is important. By the third week, ladies, it does not take a man 3 months. Doesn't take 90 days. It doesn't take him a year. It damn sure doesn't take him 5 years to figure out that he wants to be in a relationship with you. We said it every single day this week. If a man is feeling you, he's wifing you up early. Like, it's not even the type of thing. He's wifing you. Gerald Howard, real quick, am I right about that?
Most definitely. That's the main thing that stood out to me already, that by week number three, he was like, I'm done with everybody else. This is the woman I want. And it doesn't take long for a man to want to take a woman off the market if he thinks that she's a good woman and worthy of it.
Worthy of it. But the trick, ladies, you have to convince that man that you – not. I don't want to say convince because it's not about convincing. You just got to show him. You got to stand out. What do I always say, guys? You have to differentiate. Does that word sound familiar? This woman did a great job of differentiating herself from the rest of these chicken heads on Grambling State's campus. Let's cut the BS and keep it moving. He says, I asked her, we go on a couple dates and chill with each other. By the third week, I've already cut every other female I was kicking it with. I asked her to be my lady, and she's more than thrilled about it. So now we've been exclusive for a little over a month. We've been chilling. I'm feeling her. She's feeling me. The month goes by, and she's telling me she loves me, and I'm feeling some type of way. I'm like, damn, it took me 5 years to find my lady, but now I've got her. So we've known each other for about 2 months, and we haven't had any type of sexual intercourse, which was cool because I was really trying to get to know her, feel her on another level, you know? Anyway, I've felt her on this other level, and I knew she was the one. And I got to stop real quick. I don't want to lose anything. And like I said, we're going to get to it. But I got to – something's jumping out at me. And I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. But this is a great example, ladies. It's not – I don't want to put time limits on anything. It's not about making a man wait for a specified time limit. It's about how that man feels about you that determines whether or not he's going to stick around. If this dude is feeling her, like not on some like just telling her or acting like or playing a role, he's actually truly feeling this young woman after 3 weeks. Even if they didn't have sex, but even if he did, I know as a man he wasn't going nowhere. So it's not about the time. It's about how does this man feel about you. Anybody, I don't care who it is, anybody who puts a time limit on sex is stupid. That's stupid advice. You understand what I'm saying? It's about how a man feels, and this is a great example of that. So he goes on to say, I was starting to feel on another level. So anyway, I was feeling on another level, and I was ready to take it to that next level. So I came up to her place. She told me she was a virgin, but she loved me, and she let me have her. and I was honored. She turns out all the lights so I can't see, and I make love to her slowly and passionately, trying to be sensitive to her delicate state. When it's all done, she tells me to stand up, and she hurries and takes the sheets away. She says there's blood on the sheets. So I get up, and she takes the sheets, and she comes back and wipes me off with a cloth. I'm feeling like a king now. I love this woman. And I can tell, that's real talk. That's not like he's telling her he loves her, trying to play a part. He truly loves this young woman. He says, a couple days ago, go by, and I'm at a canteen chilling with a couple of basketball players. I'm not really cool with them, but I tutor a couple of them. So they call me over to say what's up. And I noticed a few of them crowded around a phone. You know what that means. They had recorded some chick getting done. They pass me the phone, and all I see is a nice ass at first. One of the dudes is giving it to her from behind. Then I hear my lady's voice coming from the phone. She sounds like she's in a lot of pain. I keep watching, and the screen widens, and it's her. Her tattoo with her deceased mother's name and the dates of her life right there on the video. I'm freaking devastated. Now, if you're listening across America right now, this is crazy already. It's about to get crazier. But I got to be honest with y'all, ladies, and this is just from a male perspective, some advice. I would give the same advice to my little sister. Be careful. I cannot, and I'm not proud of this, but it is what it is. I cannot count the number of homemade porn that I've seen on cell phones. And this is real talk, ladies. If letting a man hit it from the back, turn around every once in a while. Make sure he don't got a camera phone watching you. And you think I'm lying, trust me. Gerald Howard, how many homemade porn videos have you seen on camera phones?
Dayton, I can't even begin to tell you the number. I can easily say over 500 easily.
Hold on, 500? I don't think I've seen 500 camera phone porn videos.
Hey, well, you know, I played for a major college university, right? So
hey, I mean, I feel you. I see it a lot, but that's yo. My cell phone is like, I was gonna give you my number. I'm playing, man. Nah, that's crazy, but that's real talk, ladies. Understand, these dudes are taping women. That's like the new thing. It's not like having a hidden video camera, like in between two books or anything. It's like when they're hitting it from the back, your face is buried in the pillow, they're videotaping you. Like, seriously, if you're giving it up to somebody you don't really know like that, chances are dude is probably trying something. Trust us, 500 videos, I've seen at least a few hundred. That's a lot of videos, so keep that in mind, ladies. The next, where are we at? I hear my lady's voice coming from the phone. She sounds like she's in a lot of pain. I keep watching the screen widens, and it's her. Her tattoo with her deceased mother's name and the dates of her life right there on video. I'm devastated. Now, the ballers don't know she's my girl, so I play it off. I'm like, yo, who's that? Is that one of y'all jump-offs or groupies? One of the ballers says, well, I'm cool with it, says, nah, she's a real good girl, man. She's just messed up after her mother died, and this fool took advantage of her. If you keep looking at the video, you'll see all the blood on the sheets. She was a virgin. This asshole just got her when she was grieving and murdered her. You hear all the pain she's in. I play it off with a fake laugh and then tell him I'll holler at them later. Long story short, she was a virgin when he recorded her, and she didn't know she was being recorded. The recording was from a week before I hollered at her. Now, as soon as I got to my car, I go straight to her place and ask her if she really a virgin. She says yes. I asked her, why does she have it so dark, and why she hurried off with the sheets? She said, because she didn't want me to see the blood. I asked her why she wiped me off in the dark. Again, she says, because she didn't want me to see the blood. I'm like, okay, cool. So we have sex right then and there, and I ride her like she's a slut. Every day for the rest of the week, I sex her like a slut. I mean, busting wherever I feel like it, face, hair, nose, eyes, I don't even care. She finally asked me why I'm treating her like a porn star and making her feel so disrespected, and I show her that video that I had the baller I'm tutoring forward to my phone. Her mouth just hits the floor. She tries to explain herself, telling me that she didn't count that. She didn't count that one because it was a mistake and she was hurting and because her mother died. And that's the only person other than me that she's ever been with. She goes on to cry and say she swears and promises that she's never been with anyone else. You know what? I actually believe her, but it doesn't even matter. I put my clothes on and bounce. Here's my thing. Am I wrong for feeling the way I feel? Am I wrong for treating her the way I did? Why did she feel the need to lie to me? I mean, damn. I mean, it wasn't even that serious. I loved her. I thought she was going to be my wife. Never have I thought a woman was going to be my wife. I didn't even care if she was a virgin or not. I knew she wasn't a slut, but she lied to me. I mean, damn. I still love her, but there's no way I can go back to her. For her video is circulating around campus like crazy. Not that that's really her fault, though. I mean, I feel sorry for her for that, but the biggest thing is that she lied to me. Me confronting her and walking out on her happened a week ago. She's still trying to get back with me. She comes over and gives herself to me. I treat her like a slut, and I send her on her way. I have no intentions of getting back with her, but I continue to sleep with her as long as she lets me. I'm telling her up front that I don't want to be with her, and I can't because she's a liar. Am I wrong for feeling the way I feel and doing what I do because of what she did to me? She hurt me bad. I mean, I loved her for real. Signed, needing to vent and needing direction. Wow, that's some deep stuff right there, guys. And, you know, and we're not going to take, you know, the normal route that you guys are probably, or maybe if you listen to the show, you don't know what to expect. You know I'm going to keep it real. So, but a lot of people would just take the politically correct road and bash this man and talk about how wrong he is for treating her like a slut and ejaculating in her hair, in her mouth, in her nose, in her eyes, and disrespecting her and treating her like a slut. And, you know, obviously it's wrong to disrespect any woman, although – matter of fact, I'll reserve my opinion for a quick second. I want to let Gerald start it off, but y'all know me. I don't sugarcoat. You will hear exactly how I feel about this situation. But, Gerald Howard, hearing this from a male perspective, what are your initial thoughts on this situation?
You know, this fella kept it as real as it gets, and this is the perfect situation or the perfect example of how so many men feel. I mean, you know, a lot of people are going to look at this man and say, you know, he's terrible. He's a dog. Or he's this and he's that. But in actuality, I mean, this man, he truly loves this woman. It's crazy how sometimes we hurt the ones that we really love. And he feels hurt, and now he wants to hurt her back. He's trying to get back at her for making him feel stupid, making him feel the way that that he does right now, the pain he's going through. I mean, this is a dude who actually his all of his intentions were to make her his wife. You know, he felt honored to even be with her. He felt that she was the best thing ever. I mean, Grambling State University, I've spoken on Grambling State University. There are beautiful women every place you turn your head. And for this lady to stand out to him like this, I mean, she was definitely somebody special to him. Now, he says, am I wrong for feeling the way that I feel? No, you're not wrong for feeling the way that you feel. I mean, you were hurt. I mean, say, when we're hurt, we do crazy things, men, women alike. I mean, that's a part of growing and learning. Now, I mean, treating her like a slut, knowing that you truly, I mean, you still love her. You say that you love her, and you know that she is a good girl. I mean, obviously she went through some things. Her mother died, and she got taken advantage of. She let herself be taken advantage of. A fella videotaped her, and she lied to you. I don't know if it hurts more. I guess it should hurt more that she lied to you. I hope it's not the fact that somebody videotaped her, because that's what it seems like you're worried about a little bit, about the videotape. That was no fault of her own. But, I mean, you should be more concerned with the fact that she lied to you. Now, is it wrong of you to do her the way that you're doing her? You know, I understand why you're doing what you're doing. But, yes, I have to be honest. It is wrong for you to do her the way that you're doing her. But why? Because, you know that you don't have any true intentions. You say it time and time again that you don't have any true intentions of being with her. And it's almost like you're beating her when she's down. I mean, she's lost her mother. She's being embarrassed with the cameras and whatnot, her videos circulating around campus. And she's coming to you. I mean, somebody that, is like one of those true love situations. She really cares for you. So she's giving you her body and just trying to make it right with you. And if you truly know in your heart that you're not going to be with her, you shouldn't continue to do her wrong, even though I understand why you're doing it. I understand how you feel. You have to understand that, if you continue to do what you're doing to her, if you truly care about her, understand that, one, you're going to damage her even more so than she already is. And two, she could just fly off the lid and just slip on you and mess you up really bad. I mean, you got to be careful with a woman's emotions and feelings. So she continues to give herself to you because she knows that she was wrong for lying to you. And she, trust me, she's punishing herself enough already as is. I mean, she punished herself from the get-go when she gave herself to the basketball player out of grief and agony. So she's been punished. It's not your place to continue to punish her. So while I understand where you're coming from, how you feel, you should definitely stop. I mean, if you love her, don't put her down. Don't beat her down. Help her back up.
Right. I'm gonna take a little bit of a different perspective on this. Gerald makes some excellent points, and obviously on the surface, you know what I'm saying, you got to look at it like she's had a tough life. You know, she's lost her mom. She's on tape. You know, the whole campus has seen this, the whole football team, everybody's seen it. It's unfortunate. And I don't want to bash anybody. I'm definitely not going to bash her. At the same time, I'm not going to bash this man. This man is being real. You know what I mean? This man had real feelings for this woman. I know that. I can tell. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we can talk about how wrong he is for disrespecting her, although I will say this, I feel like that's relative because at the end of the day, she keeps coming back to him. They are having sex. He said, and I analyzed this, he said, I told her up front, you lied to me. I have no intention of being with you. All right. I cannot forgive you for lying. He was up front. She chose to enter into a sexual situation. He said this was going to be my wife. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, I'm engaged. I know that feeling. When you have those type of feelings for a woman, those are genuine. He had those feelings for this woman. And to lie to a man, what do we talk about on this show, guys, every single night? Ladies, it is very important to not lie to a man. Honesty is one of the number one, the personality is the number one trait or feature we look for in a woman. Part of personality is honesty. All right? You have to be real with yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Don't lie. He even gave this woman a chance. To me personally, if I see you on tape, I'm gone. I can't have that. What do I tell y'all every single night? This stuff is all repetitive, guys. You know, shout out to the guys who listen every single night. But no man wants to wife up or will wife up a woman who he perceives to be a hoe. It's not going to happen. We can talk about how wrong that is. We can say everybody has a past. We can say she could be a changed person. She was just dealing with something. She made a mistake. Hey, I'm not knocking it. Ladies, I tell y'all every day, if you're going to do something that you have to lie about, don't do it in the first place because your past will catch up with you. Unfortunately, she had a man. She's done some things that most men would consider her to be a freak, a slut, whatever. I mean, guy was on, had her on tape. That's, in most circumstances, not the type of woman that a man wants to wife up, even though it seems like it was through no fault of her own. If it was through no fault of her own, she should not have lied about it. It's cool to be ashamed, ladies. What am I talking about? We've had numerous discussions on this show about the number of sexual partners that you've had. I've told my number, what I think is too high for me to really take you seriously and wife you up. Gerald gave his number. That number is somewhere around 10. You know, give or take. Call it what you want. I'm being real. Most men, I don't know a man. Personally, I know a lot of guys. I don't know one man who would wife up a woman saying, hey, be my wife, if she's been with, like, 15 guys, 20 guys, definitely, I mean, really anything more than 10, we're going to think twice about the decision-making skills that you have or the decision that you've made in your life. And I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. You know what I mean? We hear on people saying, well, Daydon, you don't speak for all men. Okay, you can believe that if you want to. Trust me. This is how most men think. You know, understand what I'm saying? Men do not want to wife up a woman they perceive to be a hoe. So the moral of this story is, you know, again, we can say what we want about the situation, but it's real. If nothing else, this I was so hype about this question, this situation, because it's not every day we get a look into the mind of a man. You understand what I'm saying? Men are look. I say it every single day. Men are looking for a wife. This guy said it. He said, I quote, he said, for 5 years I was looking for a wife. Men out here are looking for you. Whether or not he wipes you up is going to depend on you and how you present yourself to him. It's not about men. We're very simple. We're complicated, but at the same time, we're very simple. We go through three stages. We go through the dog stage, the player stage, the ready-to-settle-down stage. When we get through, we have our fun in the dog stage. We do our dirt in the player stage, and then we're ready to settle down. This man was obviously in the ready-to-settle-down stage. Did he disrespect this woman? Yes. Although I won't necessarily even say he disrespected her, because she probably just said, well, hey, why are you doing this stuff? It's a lot. I mean, no offense, but a lot of women, and I'm just being real with y'all, it's the realest show in America, so why not? A lot of men come in women's mouths, in their hair, in their eyes, and women suck it up and laugh. So are they being disrespected? I had on one of my shows, it's actually on the Best of the Daydon Tolbert Show CD, we had one of the biggest porn stars in history, Spontaneous Ecstasy. Some of you who've been around, I interviewed her on the show. Get the CD if you haven't got it already at daydonsplace.net. She said, I even asked, I said, well, do you feel like you're being disrespected when men come in your mouth and like they ejaculate all over you? She said, no. She said, it's liquid. I get in the shower and it's nothing. I don't feel disrespected at all. So my point in saying it is disrespect is relative. If a woman is okay with something, I mean, is that disrespect? I mean, Gerald Howard, talk about that. I mean, you even said, you know, you disrespected her. But if you think about it, she let him. She kept coming back and coming back. He kept doing what he did. She even said, hey, look, why are you doing it? Why are you coming in my mouth? Why'd you do that? You know what I mean? Like, did he disrespect her, really?
Well, you know, you're right. It is relative to the person. But in this situation, I mean, she's saying to him, she's saying, you know, why are you treating me like a porn star? And he's saying that he's purposely trying to do things to treat her just like a slut, whereas beforehand he wouldn't have done those things until he found out about her line in the video. And the reason that she's coming back is because, I mean, she's very conflicted right now. She's in another type of state, and she's trying to reach out to him by any means necessary. And you and I both know that in most cases what a woman will try to do to make a man know how much she really cares and loves him is to have sex. To have sex with him. This young lady here, I mean, from what I heard, she's only been with one other man in her life other than him. She didn't want to count the experience with the basketball player because, you know, obviously she was going through some things with the death of her mother. So, you know, she's not a slut, someone we would perceive to be a whore. She's only been with two men in her life. But, I mean, women don't lie. Ladies don't lie. It's crazy.
It will do you in. I just want to – that's the thing about me. I don't want to give y'all – and I try so hard to bite my tongue sometimes because I don't want to keep talking about the same person, the same situation. But you understand, like, I'm not going to tell y'all what y'all want to hear. I don't want to send y'all out into the world to deal with these guys and give y'all a false representation of how men look at you. Trust me on this, ladies. I've been there. I've done this stuff. You know, I'm 32 years old. Anything I talk about, I've personally done or experienced. Understand that if you lie to a man, if you do certain things, men will treat you a certain type of way. You can talk about how wrong it is all you want to. This is real life, and this is how men think. Anything I say is how men think. Y'all can disagree. Trust me. Gerald Howard. I've never heard Gerald Howard say anything that was a bad indication of how black men think. You will never hear anything on this show that's unrealistic. You know, it can't be because Gerald has been – he's a football star. I was a track star in a frat. You know what I mean? We've done this stuff. This is what we do. You know what I'm saying? So understand that. I want to be clear about that. But unfortunately, guys, we live in a very unperfect world. If a man, and that's a, I want to just help you. I'm trying to help you. This isn't a bashing. This is real talk. Trying to, I would tell my sister, and I do tell my sister this stuff, say every day, a man is going to treat you how you present yourself. If you, and y'all know, I'm going to be real with y'all. If you act like a hoe, he's going to treat you like a hoe. This man perceives her to be a lying hoe. She's on tape being laughed at by the football team. She lied to him about it. So in his eyes, she's a hoe. I'm not saying she is or she isn't, but in his eyes, and at the end of the day, if you think about it, that's really all that matters, how a man perceives you, unless you don't care. But obviously, this young woman cares. So again, stop, ladies. You cannot, and this is all kind of off the topic, but you cannot just have sex with multiple guys. What are we talking about? You professional women out here who aren't hoes, respectable women, but you have a little itch that you need scratched every couple Friday nights, so you date a couple guys and you have sex with them. And you do that with one guy 1 month, then another guy another month, then a couple months later you do that with another guy. Next thing you know, you've been with damn near 20 men. All right? I'm being real with y'all. Men are not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Gerald isn't feeling that. No man I know is going to be feeling another a woman like that. Women in today's, this is a different day and age than you know, Steve Harvey grew up in. This ain't 1960. These men out here are not going to look at you. They're going to look at you like hoes. Women are very sexually free these days. They call themselves sexually liberated. Women want to be able to do what you want, what they want to do sexually, and not be. A lot of women want to be men. They want to do the same types of things men do, but they don't want to be looked at how people look at men. Or they want to be looked at in the same way. They want it to, they don't want it to be a double standard. But unfortunately, it is, and we can't change it. You understand what I'm saying? So again, I'm nobody's pop. I don't have no kids. I'm not preaching to y'all. I'm just being real. And this is the realest talk I know how to give y'all. If you don't care how men think about you or how men look at you, hey, do you. Have sex. Go ahead. Go to these parties with your freakum dresses. You know, get taped and not even know about it. And get laughed at on, you know what I'm saying, with these cell phone videos. If that's how you feel, do you. I'm not knocking it. But if you're the type of woman who's seeking love, if you're the type of woman who doesn't want to be looked at as a hoe by the guy she's dating, you know, we talk about emotional availability. You know, you got to have it. You can't be caught up over some guy from your past and expect these new guys to come into your life and just sweep you off your feet and treat you chivalrously. Everything depends on you. You guys are the holders of so much power. You have so much control over what happens to you as far as men. We just follow your lead. If you act like a hoe, you're going to get treated like a hoe. If you act like the most respectable woman in the world, that's how we're going to treat you. Don't think these men don't know how to treat women. Don't think that. The men we're talking about, the men you aspire to be, I ain't talking about the losers, the weirdos, the thugs that stand on the corner. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about these professional men who you know, articulate, went to college, they have, you know, parents that were raised right. Those men know how to treat women. If you get dogged by one of those men or those men don't treat you chivalrously, you can call it what you want, but it's because of how you presented yourself to him. I'm being real with y'all. You know what I mean? It's the pride. This is like the realest show in America. It's not the realest show in America for no reason. You're not going to hear this anywhere. You're damn sure not going to hear it and act like a lady, think like a man. And I'm sorry, guys. I had to get that out. I'm trying to cut down. I was like, I'm trying. Gerald, what do you think about that advice?
Hey, that's definitely real talk. And one thing I just have to touch on really quick, and I got my stats in front of me, you know, is this cell phone porn and videotaping and things of that nature. Ladies, understand how real this is, and I'm going to read you a few numbers. We did a poll in Texas, and we took this poll a month ago from men, just men, the ages of 16 to 32, so high school, college students, professional men. And we took 1,000 men, and we asked them how many of them filmed a lady, whether it be with a cell phone or whether it be with a video camera performing in sexual engagements. Out of 1,000 men, 82% said that they have recorded a woman. Now, that's 820 of 1,000 men. We asked those 820 men how many of the women knew that they were recorded. 90% said the women did not know that they were recording it. Now, I don't have the exact number of how many that is, but think about that. Out of 1,000 men, 820 of the men said they had recorded a lady in a while they were either she was performing a sexual act on them or they were having sex, whatever the case. Out of those 820 men, 90% said that the women didn't even know they were being recorded. Ladies, if you're going to be having sex with all these different men and thinking it's indiscreet and nobody will find out, we're in a whole new time and age. Understand that if you're a woman that's had sex with 10 partners, you've probably been recorded by 7 or 8 of them, and you don't even know it.
People
will find out. Yeah.
And let me say something real quick, man. I didn't hear about those stats. Those stats are crazy. But I was going to give some unofficial stats. I got a couple videos in my phone right now that were sent to me from my boys. Yo, D, check this out. You know what I mean? I got videos in my phone right now from you guys, a couple of y'all listening right at home. Y'all think I don't. That's crazy right there. And that's how real I keep it. You know what I mean? Like, not like some people like that y'all would never. I'm talking about you guys, like professional women, sorority women, AKAs, Deltas. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all, you know, y'all prissy. Y'all on tape, too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that to bash women. I'm just saying because it's real. You know what I mean? Y'all hear the realness in my voice, like how you present your – and the unfortunate part about this, yes, this woman was not informed of the fact, and a lot of these women didn't know. But let's not sugarcoat stuff. A lot of these women turn right back around and smile for the camera. That's going to be the new Down South hit, Smile for the Camera. I guarantee y'all, why somebody come out with a song like that? You know what I mean? Women know what's going on. And my point is, not to beat a dead horse, but you know what I'm saying? Do what you want to do, but if you do those types of things, these types of men who, like this young man, he wanted the wife. He said, look, this is my wife. No man wants to hear about or see his wife being on camera. We had a young man who called in a couple weeks ago, and he said he would wipe somebody up after he saw his future wife getting a train ran on her. I don't believe that. I don't believe any man. I don't know a man. I wouldn't. Gerald wouldn't. No Flyness wouldn't. James Costin wouldn't. No man I know would wipe a woman up who he's seen on tape and a bunch of guys laughing at it. I mean, it does not happen. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines from the 850 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Frat, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, frat, man? This is my frat, man. Real quick, you in the frat, just off the top, man, how many women have you seen on tape in the cell phone, just being passed around?
About 50.
That's crazy. 50 women on tape. That's crazy, but go ahead. What was your comment though?
It's about we had a conversation last week. We had the minority who said, you know, if he walked around and he heard everyone talking about his girl, he would still wife her. And
right.
You know, he's even a minority, and this is exactly what we talked about last week, where we said, women, you have to keep an image of yourself because we do talk, and I might not know something, but my bros. My friends or some guys around campus on the ball team may know something and then show it to me on the camera phone or tell it to me in person. And then, boom, you get moved from the wifey category right into the jump-off category. And we men do that so quickly.
Hey, Fred, man, that's a great point. I appreciate the call, man. We're going to keep it moving. We've only got about 5 minutes left. I want to try to get a couple calls out of the way. But real quick, understand, guys, and this is kind of an extreme situation about the tape. Some of y'all women are sitting at home like, well, I know I ain't on tape. Shoot, ain't nobody got no pictures or videos on me on tape. Yeah, okay. You might think that, but that's not even the point. It's not even that serious sometimes. Sometimes we men just talk. Whether we're looking at you on tape or not, we talk. If you do a lot of freaky stuff, we're going to talk. And that man is not going to look at you any longer as a future wife. He's going to look at you as a slut, and he's going to treat you as a slut. How many women walking around are just saying, well, dad, I'm single. I'm a good woman. How come nobody wants me? Look back into your past and think about the things you've done. How many men have you had sex with? You know what I'm saying? And not to knock y'all, but that's real talk. That plays a part. And whether or not men – I would never wipe up a woman who've been with tons of people. that I'm not judging that woman, because I know women like that. They're great people. They've changed. Everybody has a past. But as far as my personal preference, I choose to be with somebody who has a lower number. You understand the difference, guys? There's not nothing judgmental about it. Real quick, from the 443 area code, welcome to the show.
How they doing?
Hey, Morgan, is this you?
Yep, that's me.
Morgan, real quick, 30 seconds, what's your comment? We're almost out of time.
Oh, well, I would put it to you like this. In the beginning, that first week when he was sleeping with her, yeah, he was disrespecting her. But afterwards, she kind of walked into that situation. I've had, and as far as the video goes, I've had an ex-boyfriend during the course of our relationship tape it, and I walk in the room seeing him watching, and he says, hey, look, I got to see something while I don't see you. So, I mean, it's several different reasons, but at any point in time, you can get recorded. So you have
wow.
to be, so keep mm-hmm. your, you know, your
keep
number
your head
up.
Hey, Morgan, that's great advice. Yo, literally, keep your head up. Like, don't bury your face in the pillow. Like, literally, keep your head up. Turn around every so often. Make sure you ain't on tape. That's real talk. Let's keep it moving real quick. Another couple of seconds. 843 area code. Welcome to the show. From the 843-569 area code. You on the line? Hello? Welcome to the show? All right, we're going to keep it moving, man. Let's go to the 215 area code, 888-2823. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yes. This is one of your fans, one of your friends from Facebook. But I'm married, and this show seems to, I guess, it's for single women.
No, it's for everybody. Ain't no, it's for everybody.
It seems as though it's for married women, but I really don't have nothing to say, but keep up the good work, and your advice is good, and keep up the good work, because, like you said, if a man going to wife you, he going to wife you, because me and my husband, we only dated for a year, and we got married the next, actually on our anniversary, or the day we started dating
right.
is the day we got married on. And
that's real.
Congratulations on your engagement.
I appreciate the support. Great comments, man. Yo, that's real talk, guys. You heard that. It does not, I mean, I don't know how many situations I got to give to y'all where it shows that a man does not take years and years and years. It doesn't even really take months like that. When a man is feeling, when he meets you, he's feeling you, he's wifing you up after like 3 weeks. Like he said it. We've heard tons and tons of men say that. But evidently, people on Facebook say, I don't speak for men. Y'all can believe that if y'all want to. You can think it takes 90 days for a man to figure out what's going on. It don't take 90 days. It doesn't take 60 days. It doesn't take anything. It takes about 3-4 weeks. He's wifing you. Once he's wifed you, it takes about another 6 months before he actually goes to get the ring. About layaway now? Layaway is about 90 days. You put something on 3 month layaway, he's getting it off and proposing to you after a year, just like this woman said, and she's getting married on their anniversary. That's how it works. There's no smoke and mirrors, no magic. Guys, we are out of time. This is not one of these shows. This is the realest show in America. If you've never listened, this is the first time. Understand, we do this every single night, 5 nights a week. Shout out to Miss Tatiana Ali earlier in the show. I apologize if you got cut off the line earlier like I said, these phone lines are crazy by 901. So that's what we do. But thank you guys for listening. If you have not already, pre-order my new book, What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear Is Going to Change the World. It's a synopsis of all my advice about everything I say. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I don't talk stuff. If I say something, I back it up. The new book on Valentine's Day will solidify everything I've been talking about for the last 2 years, if not longer. Check it out on Valentine's Day, guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Gerald Howard, any last-minute shouts out or words of wisdom?
Ladies, take care of yourself. Understand what you want in life and go get it. Don't let anybody string you along. And as Morgan said, keep your head up.
Keep your head up literally and figuratively, guys. This is crazy, man. If you're feeling tonight's show, I need y'all to do something. Write on my Facebook wall. It's a lot of haters. I get tired of these haters on Facebook. Tell them what's up. Tell them how good this show is. Tell them how we're saving lives. If people don't want us to do what we're doing, they want the watered-down advice. They want that stuff. We're not going to give it to them. We're going to keep it real. Tell everybody what's good, and I'll see y'all on tomorrow night. Peace.
My chucks and my loafs on. I was in my A and my A Superman on. I know I got it. I know she own it. I know you see it. I know she want it. She got that Cali good. And she kinda hood. She got me policing and wishing that a nigga would. This little mama got a back ride. She be skating on it. Got a nigga singing flashlight. She tryna get her, but she hope no hell is sorry. I got that act right. That's what she like. Tell me how my bangs are. I know I got it. I know she own it. I know you see it. I know she want it. She got that Cali good. And she kinda hood. She got me policing and wishing that a nigga would. Little mama got a back ride. She be skating on it. Got a nigga singing flashlight. She tryna get her, but she hope no hell is so high. I got that act right. That's what she like. I get it. I get it. Pogo on a potty, so she coming, talk to me like Casey, JoJo, and the perfect. I say hi, my name is Lizzie, and I know you know Omari. I get it in like talking spots, and they say money talk, so don't ask me why I talk a lot. Girl, I'll kiss your office spot, I'll buy your apartment out. Actually, I just bought a house, I get it in and walk around. I done got the dreads braided up, hair long, long, and I'm with a red bone that don't want to leave her gone on. It's too big, it's too wide, it won't fit, but I get it in, I get it in.